Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. It's a great day for New Life, don't you think?
I do.
Well, Mylon does.
Well, somebody had to answer that question.
Yes, thank you.
Unless it was rhetorical.
That. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Mylon Yurkovich, he is the author, co-author with his wife, How We Love and How We Love Our Kids. Mylon.
Hey, Steve. How are you? It's good to see you.
Really well, and always love having on Amanda Anderson. Amanda Anderson, she's been on before. She's going to be on this week, and she was at our Life Recovery Conference on the West Coast, did a great job. She is a writer. Her book, coming out with Thomas Nelson very soon, is All My Friends Have Issues. Now, if that's not a book you can relate to, then you're probably not in relationship.
Yeah, we all have issues.
Yeah. And she's also, she does a great job of talking about recovery, 12-step groups, codependency, things like that. She's a Bible teacher and a speaker, and we're glad to have her here. And if you want to join Amanda, Mylon, myself, then you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But Amanda, it's great to be with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. And one of the things that we know you from is, you know, you being part of Mariners Church, which has a fantastic recovery program, a fantastic program for people that are just in need of a resource, whether it's going through divorce or grief or in need of recovery. How did you get interested in all of that?
Well, it started about 10 years ago. I was diagnosed with postpartum depression after I had my second daughter. And so my first experience with our care and recovery program was in something called Anxiety and Depression Boot Camp that Dr. Mike Marino, they brought him in to teach a six-week course. And so that was transformative, starting to combine psychological research with the Bible. And then 7 years later, I ended up in 12-step for codependent recovery. I had a really bad friendship breakup that pointed out some things that needed healing in my life. And I had a wonderful woman, part of our care and recovery ministry, say, "Have you considered going to CODA?" And I went in there and found my people. So,
Great. Well, and where did you go to college? What did you study? You're a Bible teacher.
Well, I went to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo,
and
I was a journalism major and then ended up with a degree in English literature. So it's a surprise to me that I'm here.
Wonderful.
But I've always been an amateur studier of sociology and psychology. And I've been reading all your books before I knew you were all connected to one another here at New Life.
Well, you are a big fan of Mylon Case. I know that.
I am.
With How We Love.
Mm-hmm.
And what
That's
is CODA for those listening that don't know?
CODA is Codependence Anonymous. So the only requirement for membership is a desire for healthy and loving relationships. So whether you're struggling with friendships or marriage or romantic relationships, we all find that we've had some kind of similar childhood experiences that framed us this way.
So. All right.
Amen.
Well, we'll be talking about all of that stuff, good stuff, how to really get on with life. If you're stuck, if you're reacting to things that happened a long time ago, well, this is the place to call. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be in the studio for 3 hours today. You know, it just feels like Christmas is in the air now that we're into December. And hope this is going to be a great Advent season for you. We're doing Advent calendars at our house, really having a great time One has a little drawer in it. The first thing I put in there for the kids was coal. Wanted them to understand what coal is all about. I'll tell you, what the lesson
You wanted to teach them about carbon emissions, yeah. Didn't you?
I certainly did.
Yes.
All right,
okay,
we'll be back.
Here we go.
1-800-229-3000. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th. Great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We're back. Okay, so we have this little thing. It's a calendar, and it's got a little drawer in it. And so I put a little coal in there and told them the lesson was that, well, you know, when you're looking for fun things, coal's kind of a downer. And in fact, it's used in the Santa Claus story as punishment. But if you think about it, coal actually, by heating water, creating steam, turning turbines, is the greatest generator of electricity right now. And of course, if you're very, very cold, being heated through coal, that would be worth more than gold. And so the message was that a lot of times people judge us by what we look like or kind of on the surface, but when they dig deeper, they find there's true gold down inside of our soul. Sometimes we judge other people or things, think that they're not of much value, but in reality, there are a lot of jobs that are created because of the coal industry. There have been many, well, as Mylon said at the break, you know, put enough pressure on them, they become diamonds, that kind of thing. But anyway, throughout Advent, my wife and I were teaching our kids about a few things. 24, we figured, you know, why not? 24 lessons, and the first one was on coal. The second day, I gave them a gold coin. Actually, it was chocolate, but I tried to convince them it was gold.
Covered in gold.
I told them, yeah. You know, it was just the opposite. Yeah. Things that look real shiny and beautiful and wonderful can actually destroy your soul. Hmm. So I'll keep you posted on our ongoing Advent lessons there, and hope that maybe something would inspire you to teach your children or somebody else or just yourself that it ain't all what it looks like on the outside. That's kind of my basic message from West Texas. All right, and before I go on, I just want to say this. We join everybody in the country and mourn the loss of really, I think, a great president. He was an honorable man. This was a guy, I was watching one of the clips of, you know, his plane crashed in the ocean, and he's on a little tiny life raft, and the submarine comes along, and there's video of him climbing up onto that submarine. They saved him. He was just a phenomenal man, great sports fan, a family man, and a successful person, and really brought honor, I think, to the presidency. And I think, you know, you may not agree with him politically or whatever, but you have to say he really did give it his best when it comes to being a decent man of character, a family man. And we mourn his passing, and we pray for his family as they adjust to his loss. My mom, you know, lives in Bryan College Station, where the Bush Library is, and that's where he'll be laid to rest on Thursday. Having said all that, we're going to be in the studio for 3 hours. Mylon Yurkovich, our new friend Amanda Anderson, and Steve Arterburn here. You can call us 1-800-229-3000. And right now, I'm going to go to how about we talk with we talk to Lee. Lee is a woman from Knoxville, Tennessee. WRJZ is the station. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, you.
Yeah, doing all right. How could we help you today? What's going on?
I'm trying to lose some weight, and I was wondering about some passages from the Bible about what it says about having like the gastric sleeve and weight loss surgery where they cut out your stomach, and especially how to stick to your diet through the holidays.
Hmm. Okay. So what I hear you asking about is it biblically okay to do any kind of gastric bypass or any kind of surgery to help lose weight. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, having dealt with this, I used to say that I have kept off 60 pounds for, over 30 years. I have to adjust now to 50 pounds because I ended up with a little neck problem and I haven't been working out as much, so I'll go with 50. But anyway, here's what I've seen over the years. Just give you my best shot. If you're going to do any kind of radical procedure, you need to do all the things that you would be doing if you didn't have the radical mm-hmm. procedure. Here's why I'm saying that. Over and over, I have seen people get some kind of medical procedure, and then they lose a lot of weight. Now, some of them start to regain the weight because they're uncomfortable with the attention that it brings. Others regain the weight because they didn't realize that they had excess skin from a lifetime of being overweight and that they needed to figure into this whole process, how do I get rid of that skin, which can be quite costly. But also, if you just go right back to the way you were eating, you're going to gain the weight back. I say, why don't you get ready for the surgery, exercise, change your diet, change the amount of support you're getting from other people. Do those kinds of things. Resolve childhood issues that might cause shame or disconnection. And it is amazing what that will do for you, and then you won't need the surgery. Having said all that, I do believe that people reach a point, some folks, that their life is set and they are in this place of morbid obesity. And the only way that they're going to be able to make progress is through some kind of procedure. And it should only be done in the rarest of circumstances and with the advice from the team that this is not going to, all of that, is, of course, is very dangerous, but that you've got a pretty good chance of surviving the surgery. That's my detailed answer on this, and I just think you have to have very good advisors before you do something radical, or you're going to end up in a year having spent a lot of money and having experienced some hope, but then deep depression because you find yourself right back where you were. Amanda, Mylon, you guys have a comment on this?
I watched that show, My 600-Pound Life, and he wants them to lose like 50 to 75 pounds in a uh-huh. month before the surgery. Is
yeah.
that advisable?
Well, you just have to talk with whoever's doing that procedure. And, like I say, I really think it's better to get involved in a very responsible weight loss program. Now, I'm going to send you Lose It for Life because that's how I lost it. That's how I kept it off. And it's a gradual process that anybody can do. It's not losing 60 pounds in a month. It's losing the weight so you never gain it back again. But Mylon, Amanda, you guys have a comment?
Amanda, do you have a comment?
Well, what I heard you say, Lee, you asked about the holidays coming up. And you're thinking about your relationship with food as you're celebrating. And I think food has such an emotional connection for all of us. And so it's good practice going into the holidays to realize that food doesn't have to be, if you take some of those celebratory foods out, that Christmas is still Christmas. I've recently quit drinking alcohol about a year ago and realized there are so many ways that I was connecting, you know, celebration to, well, we have to have a glass of champagne. And we have a lot of emotions attached to the things that we eat and drink. So if you start at this holiday noticing the emotional connection with what you're eating and drinking and seeing that you can celebrate with family, you can have joy, you can participate without overindulging in food, that's kind of the one of the first steps in understanding your relationship to eating.
Yeah. Mind any thoughts here?
Well, just that we have to ask ourselves, Lee, why do we eat?
Mm-hmm.
And to Steve and Amanda's points, a lot of us eat to comfort ourselves. And then this cuts to the heart of when I'm distressed, when I'm upset, when I am uncomfortable on the inside, what do I do to make that go away or to relieve that? How do I medicate myself? And so many of us find that food is one of those ways that we comfort our distressed emotions. And so I would challenge you, as Steve did, because in his book, Lose It for Life, that's one of the questions. What in our histories is causing us to turn to food for the purpose of finding relief for the discomfort that we feel?
Yeah.
The other thing is, the Bible does say that we're supposed to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And the word discipline is a Greek word, gymnasium, that we derive our English word gymnasium from. And so there is an element of discipline we all have to put into our lives. And Steve's absolutely right. I could have surgery, and I know so many people that have had surgery, but because their habits and disciplines are lackluster or undisciplined, they end up back in the same place. So you really have to – I would really recommend getting into some therapy and have somebody yeah. help you ask all these questions.
All right. So here's what I'll do. I'll send you Lose It for Life, and then I'm going to recommend that you join us on January the 25th for our Finding Freedom workshop. Because if you've got a weight problem, we're going to give you the keys to how to get rid of the weight and the problem. How about that? A lot of people just help you get rid of the weight for a while. But if you don't get rid of the problem, it leads to the weight. And that problem can be emptiness. I know a person that literally 50 pounds overweight. And you know why they thought they were overweight? They thought they were overweight because they – here's a friend out there, Mark Thompson. Because – here's why they thought they were overweight. They just liked food. They had no insight into that it was medication. And so I hope anybody struggling with this could come join us January 25th. If you don't have the financial resources, call us. We've got scholarships that are available. Or maybe you want to provide somebody with a scholarship. It's a huge, difficult problem. The Bible calls it gluttony. And it's not something that we can overlook as, oh, well, you know, it's not as bad as this or that. If it's standing in the way of us growing closer to the Lord, walking in shame, or disconnecting us from other people, it's a problem. So come January 25th. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you all about it. We'd love to have you there. Finding Freedom. It's the new Life Weekend. Seattle, Washington, Robert is listening online. Robert, how you doing?
Great. Thank you. Having a good day.
Good. What's going on?
I was recently in the East Coast seeing both my sons, and my oldest has been married for 2 years, and he's been with his wife for probably about 10. They met in college.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both pretty private, especially his wife. And the night before I left, she came to me and broke down and cried and opened up to me that my son had had an affair on her.
Mm.
He was away on location for work for 3 months, and it wasn't just an affair. He had a relationship. As mm-hmm. time's gone on, she's revealed to me more and more. So I've spoken to her often, and he came to me about 3 weeks later and told me what happened, and I've been able to speak to him. I've tried to mostly listen instead of give advice and tried to hold him emotionally, and it's been pretty cool that they've come back to me. I've been divorced from their mother almost 22 years. Come to my home where she's pretty controlling, and it's about outward appearance and not so much about emotional work inside. I'm pretty transparent and pretty in touch with my emotions, so I get it, and it's pretty cool that they've come back to me at this point, both of them, my oldest sons. So he's 30 years old. I'd like to get him to Every Man's Battle and maybe get a scholarship for him. I don't have the means to help him.
Okay.
His mother has deep pockets. Maybe she could help. But I'm not quite sure how to help him at this point. I've told him that it's going to be a – he's broken down the house down to the foundation, so it's a brick-by-brick rebuilding the trust with her, and that begins with being totally honest with her about his feelings. He has a lot of anxiety, and he reclused himself in the last year. He smoked a lot of pot and just kind of went off another room as she got depressed. He didn't know what to do with it, from what I understand. And so he just kind of isolated himself. And I think that that has something to do with A, was where he was raised, and I was depressed when they got divorced. So I stayed really involved in their life.
So hang on.
I'd really like to help them.
Yeah. Maybe before this is over with, somebody will come through and provide that scholarship. But in the meantime, we're going to try to give you some help, as if he would never go to Every Man's Battle. We do think that that's the answer. You know, last weekend, Every Man's Battle was in Denver. And I guarantee you, there are going to be about 100 guys. Christmas is going to be different this year. This whole next year is going to be different. And your support enabled that to happen. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh, we are back. And we're talking about talking to Robert, and I am so grateful that daughter-in-law and son have come to him, and we want to give him some help here. Mylon, I'll start with you. I mean, the thing that kind of got me, I don't know about you, that they knew each other 10 years and then were married two, and in the two they get he has the affair. What do you say?
Well, Robert, thank you for your call, and I love it that you're an engaged dad. This is the role that parents should be in with their adult children. They're not a parent anymore, parenting them with authority. They're guiding them and leading them. And you're asking such a great question. How do I guide and lead my son into a state of growth and maturity and toward wellness and healthiness? Speaking of wellness, in Steve Arterburn's wellness series, he has a book entitled Understanding and Loving Someone with Sexual Addiction. And that may be something you may want to give to your daughter-in-law so that she could kind of understand a little bit more about what sexual addiction does. So I would say two things. One is there's a core pattern that's going on with your son and daughter-in-law, and they don't know how to touch each other in when they're reactive. They are just going further and further apart, as you've already reported. And his anxiety is something that I'm very concerned about, because anxiety makes us smoke a lot of pot because we don't know how to get rid of our pain. And EMB is very important, but it's also important that he understand the nature of his addiction, that he's trying to medicate and make the pain go away. And he's fearful. And so he's probably afraid to ask his wife how she's doing or what's going on. Coming from the home that you're describing, he would not have learned that at home because nobody knew how to do that in his home growing up. And you've already reported that as well, Robert, and I appreciate your great insight and your heart here. So those are just a few thoughts. They really need to get into a marriage counselor on top of the whole thing to help them understand what's going on that separates the two of them and the fear that's in their hearts. What would you add to that, Amanda?
I just noticed that you said his wife was struggling with depression.
Right.
And he really didn't know what to do with that, mm-hmm. which, yeah. you know, if you were listening at the beginning of the program, I went through that. My husband experienced mm-hmm. what it was like to suddenly be married to a woman who didn't know how to connect, had a lot of fear, a lot of indecision,
right.
really wasn't acting the way I had when he fell in love with me. And it's very frightening to be married to someone who's struggling with depression. So I don't know how you make him go to a program, but I know that you can suggest to your daughter in law that she should be in some community that can help her deal with her depression, because it's a lot of pressure to put on a marriage to expect a husband to be able to respond to that without some outside help.
Mm-hmm.
So there's multiple issues going mm-hmm. on here, but if you can really, there's a lot of shame involved with depression. So if you can really lean into her and encourage her to get some community to come clean about that mm-hmm. with some mm-hmm. people outside the family. In Al-Anon, we say you can't get well in the same place you got sick. So a lot of times it's helpful to get some outside perspective.
Mm.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you, it's brand new. I don't even think it's in stores yet. But this new Bible, the Restoration Bible. It's based on the acronym RESTORE. And this is a way for a person to work a program that maybe isn't aware or comfortable with 12-step work. And it's also something I'll give to you to give to your daughter-in-law. Because what we want to do is we want to see him go to Every Man's Battle, and the resources for him are pretty clear. But for the person that has been traumatized by this, and I'll tell you, I was there at the last time we did the RESTORE workshop. And I wept over the pain that was there in that room for the women that had been abused, traumatized, betrayed. But I also knew that that pain must never stand in the way of the person who offended them being restored back to receive grace from God. To not have to face criticism and bitterness and anger every day, even though every woman there was entitled to it. I think that when you go to Every Man's Battle, sexual integrity, that's the goal. When you go to RESTORE, understanding your own pain and recovery and receiving healing, that's the goal. But really the ultimate goal for New Life is, where possible, there's a restoration of the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean it's going to happen every time. If you've got a guy that's still out there having affair after affair, we're not going to say, oh, well, we want this marriage restored. No, we want you to be free from what we call the serial killer of adultery. And so if nothing has affected him, then we're not going to think that you ought to stand around, lay around for 10 years waiting for a miracle. In fact, many times the miracle starts when a person does the tough thing and files for divorce. And whenever we recommend filing, we're doing that only when nothing else has happened. So I would provide her with support. I would recommend to her the book Surviving an Affair. It's a fabulous book. None of us wrote it, but I would get it for her, Surviving an Affair. But then, to your son, That's where you have to say, my boy, we got to start over here. And God has grace for you. He's a God of second chances. You don't want to blow this one. You've got a great wife. You've known her for so long. And now is time for you to surrender, to humble down, and do what it takes to win her heart. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things we want you to know about. If you have an Alexa-enabled device like an Amazon Dot or Echo, listening to New Life Live just got even easier. All you have to do is say, Alexa, play New Life Live, and the latest New Life Live program will begin playing. You can even use commands like Alexa pause if you need to stop listening to the show for a moment, and then say, Alexa resume to pick up right where you left off. We know you're going to enjoy this new convenience, so be sure to check it out. Also, if you're ordering things on Amazon, you can help New Life out by using smile.amazon.com and choosing New Life Ministries as your charity of choice. We're the ones in Lake Forest, California. So if you're avoiding the malls and ordering from Amazon this Christmas, you can contribute to reaching hurting people. Steve, back to you.
Thank you, Terry. You can also use the Google one. Say, hey, Google, find New Life Live, and maybe it will. I don't know. I got to try it at home. We have the Google one. But Alexa, that's pretty cool to have that. Let me mention this, that our next workshop is January the 11th. That's Every Man's Battle. That's in Washington, D.C. And then our New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom, is also in Washington, D.C., January the 25th. And then Intimacy in Marriage, February 15th in Orange County. Mylon Kay, myself, and our other folks, we do that. And I want to tell you something. You can sit around and wait for some magic to happen to your marriage. You can wait for God to perform a miracle, or you can come participate in the miracles that happen that weekend. I love this workshop because it literally takes some couples who thought they had a pretty good marriage and they become great. It takes others who are finished with each other, and in almost every case, they give up the old resentments and bitternesses. They start over and find what we've all been looking for in marriage. So it's an amazing, amazing experience. And you can find out about that. And I just want to say this to a lot of folks that support us. None of the workshop fees are covered totally. You just can't do it. And so the support that you give allows us to do these workshops. And thousands of people have been helped because of you. And I want to ask anybody that's listening that's never helped us before, I'd love it if 100% of the people that listen gave. I know that's impossible, and it's impossible to figure out. But I've got a little campaign of my own. I haven't told anybody about this, but I would love for 100 new supporters to come on board between now and the end of the year, and I'm going to keep track. That's my goal. That's what I'm praying for, 100 new supporters right here. And you know what? We talk about Club New Life at $30 a month. Maybe you can't do that. How about $10 a month and become part of the giving family, and that every person you hear that's on radio after that, you're part of them getting the help that they need. Not simple or simplistic help, but real help based on 30 years of experience and 30 years of God allowing us to transform lives. If you can help us, especially if you can help us, and you've never given before, would you let them know? Because right now, out of the 100 people that I'm asking God for, new supporters, I have absolutely zero. So let's see what happens to that number over the next few days as we close out the year.
I predict it'll go up, yeah. Steve.
What's that?
I predict it'll go up.
I hope so. If not, then we got a problem. All right, how about we do this? Let's go and talk here. I just had somebody, and did I lose them? Maybe I did. Or maybe they lost us. I don't know. But let's go to Diane in San Antonio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Diane, are you there? Hi.
Yes.
Before Hi. You start, I just want to the person that handles our finances is Diane Gresham, and her son was in an accident. And at New Life here, we prayed for him. And I would just like all of you to take a moment, if you would, to pray for her son. He was hurt pretty badly in an accident last night.
Hmm.
And we just know that there are a lot of you guys, you've got a direct line to heaven. Pray for his healing. Pray for comfort. Pray for his support there. All right, Diane, how can we help you today?
I need guidance on how to interact with my son, who is having a faith crisis and deeply existentially thinking about whether or not he believes that God exists, or if it's all a manifestation of his emotion and imagination. So, nutshell is that he was in college freshman year and kind of got baptized right before he went. He's grown up in church his whole life and as a believer, but rededicated his life, got baptized before he went, had a great first semester, had a faith crisis in between first and second semester, went back second semester, partied, got into all kinds of things. This summer went to a worship conference with his mentor, fell on his face, said, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to go back to school. I'm supposed to go to this worship ministry school. He did that this past semester, came home, seemed like a different kid. Totally changed person. I know what I want to do. I am meant to use my musical talent for worship, and then got real quiet, holed up in his room, and came out last week and said, honestly, I know that this is going to be hard for you to take, but I've just really been thinking a lot, and I think I don't even think that God really exists, and I'm in this process of trying to figure it out. So he lives under our roof. He said, I don't want to go back to that worship ministry school next semester. I want to go back to my other school. That's not on the table because his grades were horrible. It was too expensive. And we said, well, that's not happening on our dime. Well, I don't want to do anything else. And so my question is, where do I go from here? Do I insist that he still comes to church with us? Do we talk about this? Do I just not say anything about it and just pray about it? I need guidance because he's acting like he's going to make a final decision, which I know life is long. It's not going to be a final decision, but.
Well, I'm so glad you called. So glad you called because, you know, someone like your son, I really believe Satan's prime target to get someone like him off track. And let me start. I'll start with you, Amanda. What are your thoughts when you hear about this kind of faith crisis?
I'm so glad you asked me. Your son sounds like he's going through just a lot of emotional upheaval in his early 20s, which is so normal and developmentally appropriate, really. He's grown up in church. Right. This is his first time that he's making it his. He's deciding if he's going to make it his. Having been raised in the church, my dad was a Fuller graduate. He has a master's in theology. And around that age is when I started to wonder, do I just believe this because I've been told it my whole life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, also in your early 20s is when sometimes mental health issues can come to light, some depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. things like that can happen. And you feel...
Which has already started happening.
Right. So speaking from personal experience, it's really hard to feel what you think you're supposed to feel about God when you're in that state emotionally or in that mental state emotionally. And so what I see is that he's going through a cycle of attachment to God and disattachment from God. And it's kind of almost like, it's not the right technical term, but almost like a manic circle with the Lord. And he's
mm-hmm.
finding that he's ashamed of some behavior. And so the only way to remedy that is, okay, I'll go all in and I'll be a professional Christian. And that will prove my devotion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's somewhere in between that he will need to come to eventually in maturity, in spiritual mm-hmm. maturity. I would not force him to go to church with you is the first thing that I heard. I would not force him to go to church with you. I would trust that God has this boy in his hands and that he is allowed to work this out, that God will meet him in the working out of what he's going through. So that's my first set of thoughts.
My little thought here?
Well, Diane, I wouldn't think of him as your young boy. I would think of him as a young man who's in the middle of a crisis that I would welcome. I would tell him this is appropriate for him to question these things. He also sounds like he's a highly impulsive and emotionally mm-hmm. reactive person that
yes.
he is easily swayed by the last group or event he went to.
Yep.
And that is not the way that you decide to make life decisions. And so what I would suggest is that as she was already suggesting, Amanda, that he's an all-in or all-out kind of guy. And I wouldn't encourage that. To encourage him to really stop and ask the hard questions. I would have him talk to apologists. I'd have him read apologetics material.
Yes.
I would have him, this crisis should be welcomed because if he really struggles with God and he pushes through to the other side, his faith will be stronger. And it's a really good thing, these things called adolescent struggles. And so I would not be freaked out by it. I would just say to him, you know, the junior college is available in your area to get classes if you want to go back. But it's good to struggle. Now let's talk to some of the right people.
All right. I got a couple of thoughts for you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As we're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We are talking with Diane about her faith crisis of her son. Diane, a couple of things I want to add to what the guys have said here. And I'll give you the kind of the superficial stuff first. I have faith for a lot of reasons. One that reassures me is a lot of smart people, brilliant people, astrophysicists in the study of science have come to believe in God and accept Christ as their Savior. That's just something to, you can Google astrophysicists who became Christians, and there's some mm-hmm. great...
If okay. you can spell it, you know.
Yeah. Second yeah. thing is the historical strength of the first-hand accounts of the gospel. These were written by men, and the credibility of those 2,000-year-old writings are far beyond many of the great literary works. They are solid in that they are first-hand accounts, real accounts of miracles performed by Christ. Third thing, I point him to Paul's story, where Paul was taken up into heaven. And Paul comes back after going to heaven and dies for Jesus. When Paul was in heaven, and he says, I don't know if I was in my body or out, but I was there. If he had seen a bunch of little Buddhist statues or felt like, oh, wow, just anything gets you here, I don't think he would have served the cause of Christ like he did, nor would he have died for the cause of Christ. And I also think that we should point out to your son that we will have feelings, a multitude of feelings, but the truth never changes. And we must not judge the truth when our feelings are at their most unstable or insecure time. I would not force him to go to church, and I wouldn't force anything on him. I would just have these in the back of my mind here if you enter into a conversation. But here's what I've found causes. I wrote this book, Toxic Faith, and here's what I think the big problem here, maybe one of these three, is disconnection. When he, for whatever reason, disconnects from normal people, then he has a great chance of being disrespected by some faith leaders, by the in-group or whatever. There's a great potential for rejection. And so you end up in this place where you're disappointed in what you thought faith was going to do for you. If I have this strong faith, then these things are going to play out for me. And they don't. It doesn't change the fact that we live outside the garden. And that's what I would be talking with him about, is the fallen world in which we live in, where there's a lot of disappointment, a lot of disillusionment, but God is the same, and he loves us, absolutely loves us. You love him the way you think God loves him. Don't lecture, don't force, don't demand, and there's nothing more powerful than this. Hun, I trust that on the other side of this, your faith is going to be so much stronger. You're a great guy. I don't need to cram anything down. I don't need to tell you. I'm here for you because I trust that you will find your way back to the Lord. And that'll be a great thing, a great sense of confidence in him that he will greatly appreciate. So,
Steve, let me make one more comment.
Yeah,
please do. We have to pay attention to who he's listening to.
Yes, good
you know
point.
The Bible says bad company mm-hmm. corrupts good morals, and the same thing is even true theologically. There's a lot of theological movements right now that are very experiential, very much about victoriousness, in which there is a denial of reality, and we have to be careful what it is we're listening to because yeah. it dramatically influences us. And what you said, Steve, about looking at the credibility and the authenticity of these writers' literary accomplishments that the New Testament is and the Old Testament, this is more of a left brain experience to become yeah. convinced in your logic that this makes sense. And he has to be able to do both.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the idea of him connecting with some strong people, looking at some videos, people who have had doubts. There's so many resources available, and he just may need a time to do nothing and kind of regroup. Well, I want you to know that 30 years ago, we made a commitment here to the truth. Not the easy truth, convenient truth, or simplistic truth. We call it true truth. How did God intend for his Bible to be read? When someone was healed by Jesus, does that mean that every person could be or should be healed? That's God's intent for every person? We don't believe that to be true because God has used some folks. Johnny Erickson Tata, never healed, great woman of faith, has used her unhealing to encourage other folks who have not experienced healing also. God has different plans for different people. It'd be easy for us to just say God wants everybody healed, and so do this and you'll be healed. It's a little bit tougher to say it's more complicated than that. It's also easy for us to say that any marriage can be healed at any time. But the reality is whoever's listening to me is just one of a partnership, and it does take two. But all of us can do our part. So we have to get whole ourselves. We have to look at what are we angry about? How do we try to control everything? How do we disengage? How do we pull out of the relationship emotionally? What are we doing to distract ourselves? These are difficult things to do. But when we do that, God honors the work. Sometimes you need a counselor to do that. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll find one for you. One of our workshops may be the thing that opens up a whole new way of life for you, just like it did these guys last weekend going to Every Man's Battle in Denver. Never be the same. Pretty amazing. The one thing I know is doing the same thing that you've been doing and being dissatisfied with the result isn't going to help you at all. Now, we're facing year end here, and we've got some big challenges at New Life. There are a lot of things we'd love to do. We'd love to be on more stations. We'd love to do residential treatment centers, all those kinds of things. But what we have to do is we have to pay our bill, and we can't do it without you. Because of you, people just like this mom, she called and she got some advice, just like the dad before her called and got some help. Who knows the impact that that's going to have when they reach out and provide biblical counsel to their kids. To stay on the air, we need your help, and you can find out how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe it's a scholarship to one of our workshops. Maybe it's just supporting us in any way possible. If you join Club New Life, that's $30 a month. We'll send you this great little speaker. It's a Bluetooth speaker, and we'll send you a group of 71 of the best teachings on a thumb drive. So you get a little listening device, the thumb drive, and it's 71 really life-changing teachings, the best from here. Some an hour long, you know, it's stuff you don't hear on the radio. That's our way of saying thanks. And then you get access to this ever-growing library of videos that we have that only Club New Life members get. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, would you do it? And come join my mighty 100 folks that are brand new supporters. 1-800-229-3000 to join us in the next couple of hours. My thanks to Amanda Anderson, Mylon Yurkovich, and all of you that support us. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.